Today's reading is taken from Psalm 91, and we're going to read all of it. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You'll not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, you'll trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning is taken from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So Lord, we present our requests to you with thanksgiving for who you are. And we ask that we may hear you afresh today as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've reached the third in our series looking at these verses in Philippians chapter 4, based on Max Lucado's book, Anxious for Nothing. And we've reached this verse today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we're thinking today about requests. One request I had recently was to get a particular word into my sermon. It's not the first time that has been a challenge to me. But today I'm going to do it. So here's the word. Strudel doodle. The person who gave me that word will either now be saying, that's cheating, or well done for doing it. Now, please note, I'm not going to do this on a regular basis before you start sending words into me. But it felt appropriate today. But on a serious note, today I want us to think about prayer on a personal level, and especially what this verse in Philippians says to us. We'll also refer to those two readings that we had from James and Psalms as well. From the outset, though, I want to say that I'm so glad that I've got this subject today, because when I read Max's book, Anxious for Nothing, his chapter on requests was the one which spoke to me most powerfully. And I have to admit that it revolutionised my prayer life at that time. I happened to read it right at the start of my sabbatical, and it set me in good stead. And so what I want to think about today is four ways to think about prayer. And they are this. Firstly, perspective. I want to think about who we are talking to. Secondly, requests, what that means in our prayers. Thirdly, anything, that we are encouraged to pray about anything and everything. And then finally, you will find peace, the outcome of all of this. You may see it spells prayer. pray even. So let's start then with perspective. I don't know whether you find this, but I certainly find that it's so easy to launch into prayer without much consideration of who I am praying to. I have a journal and I often write down my prayers in there, and I'll sit down in the morning and I'll launch into a long rant or diatribe or lists of needs without really thinking about just who I'm praying to. But this verse in Philippians makes it really clear. Present your requests to God. But let's get a better, bigger perspective than that. I wonder, what is your perspective of God? How much have you thought about just who you are talking to when you pray? I believe that maybe at times we need to get a bigger perspective. The fact is, God longs for relationship with us. He loves us and he loves to hear from us. I love this quote from Dane Ortlund. He says this: the posture most natural to him, that's God, is not a pointed finger, but open arms. Isn't that beautiful? The fact is, if we try and think about who God is, we can only think in our human terms. But the God of the Bible is so much bigger than that. That's why those great all-age songs like "Our God is a Great Big God" and "My God is So Big" are, I believe, so good, because they say what is true, that he is so much bigger than we in our adult human minds can even begin to describe. We have a lot to learn from our children. We can only imagine a God like us, but when we look at the Bible, when we hear testimony from others, we begin to see an awesome, majestic, vast God. Psalm 91 reminds us that we can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Think about that. You can rest in his shadow. In his shadow, you can find rest. That's how big he is. The psalm also says that he is our refuge and he's our fortress, that in him we find shelter and safety. And this is who we are talking to when we pray. We are talking to the one for whom, as Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, anything is possible. Pete Gregg, in his excellent book, God on Mute, quotes an old Hebrew saying, which is this: God is not a kindly old uncle. He is an earthquake. I love that. Pete Gregg goes on to say, a kindly old uncle can merely smile at things that an earthquake can actually shift. But as well as a God who is vast and powerful like that, we are talking to the one who calls us by name, who is our Father, the one who loves us so much that we can't really get our heads around. And I wonder whether we forget that from time to time, because we can so often have our own image of a God more like Father Christmas or a policeman or an old man with a beard sitting aloof on a cloud. But listen to 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Brothers and sisters, this is who we are talking to. A loving, caring, gentle God who is also powerful like an earthquake. The one who made the stars in the sky knows me, knows you by name. I wonder what your perspective is. Does it need expanding? I'm reminded of the story of one man's request. A man speaks to God in prayer every night, and one night God responds to him. And God asked the man, well, what is it? What is your question, my son? The man replies, God, how long is a million years? God answers, it's just a minute to me, my son. God, he says, how much money is £1 million? God's reply is, well, it's just a penny to me, my son. God says to the man, can I have a penny? You certainly can, my son, says God. Just wait a minute. Sorry, I apologise. God is far bigger than we think, but he's also far more caring than sometimes we can give credit for. What is your perspective? Let's move on. The next thing is requests. This verse in Philippians 4 is interesting because we're encouraged to do this. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What really challenged me about Max Lucado's book is the way that he got me thinking about requests. This is specific requests. It's about asking for something. Now, there are different types of prayer, aren't there? We know that. There's worshipful prayer, prayer about relationship with God, prayer responding to who he is. There's supplication, which is a humble act of asking, so full of humility. But requests are just that. They're boldly asking for specific things. And I realised that I had been quite apologetic in my prayers, praying quite generally, possibly because either I didn't believe God would hear me or answer me, or because I was scared of what the answer might be. Looking back, actually, I wonder how much of our perspective of who we are talking to impacts our prayers and our requests. I know it does for me. Does it for you? Let's think about what requests are. When you give a request into a DJ in a nightclub or on the radio, not that I have much experience of either of those things, I have to say, you would ask for a specific song or track. When you put in a request for a repayment from a cancellation or something like that, we've probably all done that recently, you are asking for something specific, a specific amount back. There's just a couple of examples, but they both suggest that requests are specific. So what does that mean for us in our prayers? It means that Paul is encouraging us to be specific in our prayers, to request, to ask for specific things. Present your requests to God, says Paul. Think about the blind man who met Jesus as he was walking by. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus wanted him to be specific. I don't know about you, but so often in my prayers, I pray, "Lord, help me." And I've realised that I need to be a bit more specific at times in my prayers, to give requests. Not that it's wrong to ask for help in that kind of way, of course, but maybe it's a challenge for us to be more specific in our prayers. I want to give you three reasons, which actually Max Lucado gives in his book. So these aren't mine, but they're things that I found really helpful to help me think about this. The first thing is this, about requests in prayers. When you pray specifically, you are praying a serious prayer. So, for example, if you go up to someone and say to them, "Would you mind if we went for a walk sometime?" It's as if you're not sure and you might not really mean it. But if you say to someone, "Can we go for a walk tomorrow? I'm free at 3. Then the person you're talking to knows that you are serious about going for a walk. When we pray specific requests to God, he knows we mean it. Secondly, praying specific requests gives us more opportunity to see God at work and therefore to build our faith. If we're not really very specific in our prayers, it's much harder for us to see what has happened as a result. Finally, thirdly, and I believe most importantly, specific requests help us to have a lighter load. So I could pray, "Lord, help me today." Or I could pray, "Lord, I really need to get that sermon written by 3 p.m. I'm struggling to know what to say. And I know I'm going to have that difficult conversation on that walk at 3 p.m. Would you give me peace about the conversation so that I can focus on your word? That helps me to put into words what I'm struggling with. And as Max Lucado says, you have reduced the problem into a prayer-sized challenge. Requests or specific prayer are helpful. But please do hear me. I'm not saying that we can simply just give God a specific list of prayer requests all the time and that we do nothing else. You know, giving God lots of lists could be seen as trying to manipulate him in a demanding way, or that there's a formula that we can always follow for prayer. What I'm hopefully saying is that when we come to God with requests which are from the heart and with thanksgiving, as Paul reminds us, God hears them and it helps us. Those words from 1 Peter again. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Actually, when we think about that, casting anxiety is being specific, isn't it? It's placing into his hands those things that we are struggling with because he cares for us. So why not try it? Why not try bringing specific requests before God? I started trying to do that after I read those suggestions and, well, they did make a difference. Now, I haven't seen answers to everything I've prayed about or in the way I'd hoped, and I'm still waiting on some things. But it really helped me to grow in my prayer life and my relationship with Jesus. Don't be afraid to pray specifically. You don't need to use long words. You don't need to follow a formula. Just ask from your heart to your loving Heavenly Father. But of course, if you're struggling to pray specifically, it's better to pray, Lord, help me, than not to pray. Next. This verse in Philippians 4 tells us something that about what we pray about. Paul says this, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present your requests to God. In other words, nothing is beyond God's remit. Nothing is out of bounds or taboo. Pray about anything and everything, whatever your need is, whatever you are anxious about. None of it is too small or too simple or too difficult to bring to your Heavenly Father. I heard a story about a child who was taught the Lord's Prayer by her father. As she recited it to her dad, she got to the bit where it says, "Lead us not into temptation." And then she followed it with this, "And deliver us from email." To be honest, that's probably quite true at the moment, isn't it? Maybe we should add Zoom and YouTube to that. That reminds us that you can pray about anything and everything, that prayer should be punctuating our lives. I will always remember driving home once from a concert with a friend of mine, and as we were coming down the M6, we were just talking about something quite mundane, I think, when suddenly my friend, who happened to be the one driving, started talking to God as if he were in the back seat of the car. She kept her eyes open, obviously. And it really challenged me. It challenged me about prayer. It challenged me that my friend was talking about anything and everything with her Heavenly Father as if he was with her. Whatever you are facing, you can bring it to him because he cares for you. Now, although I'm focusing especially today on our own prayer, our reading in James does remind us, though, that if we are really struggling to do that by ourselves, or if we're struggling in all sorts of different ways, that we do have the body of Christ at our fingertips. In that reading from James that we heard, we're encouraged that prayer is about anything and everything. That reading talks about praying in times of joy, in struggle, in times of need for healing or for forgiveness. It reminds us that we are to pray for and with each other. Sometimes, James says that might be with the elders, that's the church leaders, or with one another. But most importantly, I believe, it's about the fact that nothing is too big or too small for God, that we are to pray about anything and everything. I just want to mention one thing, actually, from that reading in James, which I believe is important to mention, and that is this verse. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Context of that is that that verse is actually about the prayer of the elders. But it can be so hard when we pray a prayer for someone and offer it in faith and the sick person doesn't seem to be healed. I've prayed for lots of people and a few have been physically healed, but many don't appear to have been healed at all that I can see. But what I've learned is that it doesn't stop me praying because I believe in a Father who cares for me, who cares for those I'm praying for. And surely it's better to pray for someone than not. We just need to make sure we do it sensitively and carefully, not presuming that we know what's best for a person or what they want, but instead asking our loving Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus to work by his Spirit, knowing we can bring him anything and everything. But if you are struggling with this and that whole area of answered and unanswered prayers, then I really do recommend Pete Gregg's book, God on Mute. The new version even has a Lent prayer journey in it, which I happen to be doing at the moment. And just this morning, I read these words. I don't understand why you don't answer my prayers, but I'd rather wrestle with doubt than resign myself to despair. But what's the outcome of all this? Well, the next part of Philippians, the next verse in that reading says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The outcome? You will find the peace of God. I'm not going to say more about that now because that's what we're going to be thinking about next time. But it's clear that that is the outcome. And as we see in our readings in James and in Psalms, the outcome of prayer is peace, is refuge, is salvation, is healing, and is being raised up. So let's not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let's present our requests to God. Amen.